Welcome to Mainstream Mormonism with Bishop Lee Baker of Witnesses for Jesus Ministry. As a former high priest in the Mormon Church and now a Christian, Lee will each week discuss the Word of God and how it contrasts with the teachings of Mormonism. Now here's your host, Lee Baker.
Welcome to Mainstream Mormonism, where we review, compare, and inform the Mormon people concerning the policies, doctrine, and scriptures issued by the Mormon leadership, which the Mormon people have largely elected to their own detriment not to read or apply in their lives. As a program note, for the past year and a half, this broadcast has been live, 1 hour in a call-in format. Recently, Kathy and I have asked for a modification to the contract with this station to more effectively use your donations and extend the number of weeks we can spend with you. Your donations and support to this ministry have been responsible for nearly 400 Mormons leaving the Mormon Church and coming to a biblically based and rock-solid personal relationship with Jesus Christ. From Logan, Utah to Liberia, Africa, your support has helped bring spiritual freedom to individuals and families who have only known deception, abuse, and depression at the hands of false prophets who teach corrupt doctrine for their own financial and political gain. Whether we speak to you for only a half hour or for half of the entire day, the most important thing we wish to communicate to you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are a member of the Mormon Church and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior and the Lord of your life, know that you can do this right now and deal with leaving the Mormon Church later. If you should die tonight, if you should pass through the veil, you will soon realize there is no second chance. There is no spirit world to correct your mistake. And no opportunity to recover from the profanity that Mormonism accomplishes in a pagan temple. Hebrews 9 tells us that there is one death and one judgment, no second chances. Even the Book of Mormon, if you still believe the Book of Mormon, Alma chapter 34 teaches clearly that this life, this time, is to prepare to meet God. There are no second chances. You can be saved now as a Mormon. If you believe in Jesus Christ alone, leave Mormonism. You may write your letter of resignation tomorrow, but believe in Jesus Christ alone right now. Accept Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart. You have seen the goodness of the Mormon people in comparison to the deception of the Mormon leaders. Act now before it is too late for you and your children. It has now been acknowledged in writing from the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles that Joseph Smith did in fact lie about polygamy to the church and to Emma. It has been acknowledged that Joseph Smith lied about the translation of the Book of Mormon, that Joseph Smith lied about the translation of the Book of Abraham, that Joseph Smith lied about the first vision, the very foundation of the Mormon faith. With the publication of the 13 gospel topic essays from the First Presidency, which each deal with a controversial aspect or essential deception of the Mormon faith, the very foundation of Mormonism has changed forever. As a former bishop and high priest, I can make this statement with authority and honesty. I have asked over 100 current and active members of the Mormon Church if they have read the official gospel topic essays issued by the First Presidency. Less than 10 people out of that 100 have either read these important documents or even knew that they were printed. Yet they have been admonished by the Mormon prophet Thomas S. Monson to know and employ this information within the classes they teach and within the walls of their own home. Today we are discussing details of what happened in Indianapolis at the Mormon temple opening. What was the goal of the Mormon outreach? Why was I arrested? And what was the final result of my legal issues? Brothers and sisters, after several weeks of teaching in Utah, on the streets, on the radio, and on two television programs, the most asked question of me was, what happened in Indianapolis? And many of these people were upset with the corruption and deceit of both the Mormons and the government of Indianapolis. But they said, I do not want to get you in trouble with the law. brothers and sisters, my dear friends, my probation restrictions are not yours. You are free to do and say what you want. I am not. You are free to call, write, or question whoever. I am not. If you are intimidated by what happened to me, that only gives the Mormon Church and the corrupt city officials of Indianapolis more power to intimidate more people. Do not keep silent if you feel the need to question what happened to me. But I understand that it is hard for you to become informed about the deception, the coercion, the racketeering, the fraud, and the obstruction of justice in Indianapolis at the hands of the Mormon Church. They have even influenced the Indianapolis Police Department and the law offices of Ice Miller. I would like to offer you a free copy of that story, Jailed for Teaching the Gospel of Jesus Christ in America. You send me your mailing address to my email, and I will send you a free book to your house. My email is leebaker@4mormon.org. Simple as that. I will send you a copy of Jailed for Teaching the Gospel of Jesus Christ in America, the true story of Mormon corruption in Indiana. I have paid the price, and I have learned some painful lessons, but it's important that you become informed specific to the deception, the coercion, the fraud, and the obstruction of justice in Indianapolis. I learned through my experience that the United States of America incarcerates more of its citizens than any other country on earth, more than Russia, more than China, more than North Korea. Justice in America is not blind, and it is not fair. Justice in America can be bought, coerced, and influenced by money, power, and the color of your skin. The corrosive influences of the Mormon Church extend well beyond the borders of Utah, Idaho, and Arizona. I was wrongly charged with 3 felonies for teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I would like to educate you specific to what really happened with the documentation. I spent 6 days in jail with violent criminals who abused me for teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. My local movements were restricted and monitored for 6 months as a suspected felon for teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of this was under the direction and influence of the Mormon Church, because what they teach is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. $32,000 was spent in my defense because I clearly demonstrated what the Mormon Church teaches is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and as such, they were embarrassed and humiliated. Today, I would like to provide you with a short but accurate summary of the Mormon corruption in Indiana. In August of 2015, the Mormon Church opened the 148th Mormon Temple just north of Indianapolis. After working with local law enforcement authorities, several Christian churches, we organized several peaceful and legal activities to inform and educate the public specific to the unique doctrine and practices within the Mormon Temple. I was one of over 50 Christian volunteers who spoke with nearly 10,000 visitors and delivered over 90,000 non-Mormon temple visitor guides to educate them specific to the doctrines of Mormonism. Overall, it was a very pleasant and polite exchange, although on several occasions our Christian group was threatened and our ladies who volunteered were called horrible names by the Mormons and the Mormon supporters. At the beginning of the event, the Mormon Church identified Mr. Brian Roach as the contact for any temple parking and security issues, and Mr. Paul Sinclair as the senior Mormon official for the local area. I spoke with both of these representatives of the Mormon Church without any knowledge as to their non-Mormon and non-religious positions and responsibilities outside of the Mormon Church. With biblical temple ceremonies, I presented them with a few simple, clear, and well-documented examples of how the Mormon temple activities are not biblical. They are, in fact, offensive to God, in that they are done in the holy name of God by men, women, and children who, by all known biblical standards, are not authorized, not worthy, and certainly not called of God to perform these very Masonic and pagan rituals within His holy temple. There has only been one authorized temple in Jerusalem. After several weeks of emails and face-to-face conversations on public property, These two men conspired to have me arrested and charged with three serious felonies because of their embarrassment and inability to defend or even describe the bizarre doctrine of the Mormon Church. You might ask, how can two private citizens who are both high priests in the Mormon Church invent or devise totally unsubstantiated criminal charges and yet have them accepted by the state court? The answer is simple. They have used their positions within the community to manipulate legal processes and frustrate the rule of law and freedom of speech. It turned out that the high priest, Brian K. Roach, that I dealt with on a daily basis, was really the deputy chief of police for the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, and the general authority, Paul H. Sinclair, was a senior partner of the law firm of Ice Miller, the largest legal firm in the Midwest, who provides legal representation for the Indianapolis Airport, Indianapolis Police, the Fire Department, the University of Indiana, the City of Indianapolis, Indiana Chamber of Commerce, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and over 500 nationally known companies. Here is the summary of what happened to me. I have spent 36 years of my life defending the Constitution of the United States and protecting the welfare of the American people through military service and covert operations around the world. I am a disabled veteran with a criminal record now because I was wrongfully arrested and jailed for publicly comparing the bizarre Mormon doctrines of becoming a god, polygamy, and Mormon racism with the true gospel of Jesus Christ contained within the Bible alone. The power, money, and influence of the Mormon Church is truly enormous, but it must not be allowed to pervert or corrupt our constitutional rights or restrict our legal freedom of speech. It is my belief that the deputy chief of police from this major Midwestern city has been and will continue to be coerced and corrupted by a simple local attorney who far outranks him within the organization of the Mormon Church. I also believe that within the state of Utah, this condition and situation is normal. It is wrong, but it is normal. The political will of the Mormon Church is clearly felt from the state level to the neighborhood level. On a global spectrum, I believe that the Mormon Church has caused untold misery and despair among millions and millions of good people who have been victims of religious fraud, lies, and racketeering. With a combined experience of over 80 years within the Mormon Church, Kathy and I stand ready to assist any capable legal firm ready to hold the Mormon Church accountable for these unspeakable losses caused by their well-documented deception and deceit for financial gain. Please do not keep silent. If you feel the need to question what happened to me, then do something about it. Please remember, my probation restrictions are not yours. You can become informed and take your own actions. I am not asking you to do anything other than be informed. And you can do that by sending me an email. I will send you the book that will outline the deception, the coercion, the racketeering, the fraud, and the obstruction of justice in Indianapolis by the Mormon Church on the Indianapolis Police Department and the law offices of Ice Miller. Please stay with us through this short commercial break.
Welcome back to Mainstream Mormonism. Here's your host, Lee Baker.
Welcome back to the program. Today we are discussing details of what happened in Indianapolis at the Mormon Temple opening. What was the goal of the Mormon outreach? Why was I arrested? And what was the final result of my legal issues? Remember, to get the book free, simply send me an email with your address, leebaker@4mormon.org. You can become informed and take your own actions. I am not asking you to do anything other than be informed. And you can do that by sending me an email. I will send you the book that will outline the deception, the coercion, the racketeering, the fraud, and the obstruction of justice in Indianapolis by the Mormon Church on the Indianapolis Police Department and the law offices of Ice Miller. My dear brothers and sisters, while I was in jail, I had the awesome opportunity to witness to several different men who were incarcerated for violent crimes. Two of them repented and returned to Jesus Christ. Another two of them heard the gospel for the first time and came to a belief in Jesus Christ. As you read the book, you will see that one of my cellmates was given an early parole. Several months after I was released, he called on Easter Sunday to let Kathy and I know that he had returned to his family, returned to his church, and returned his life to Jesus Christ. He has a new child. He's a broken man. He was humble before the Lord. God gave me the opportunity to share with him the gospel, and the Spirit moved in his life, and he returned to a life with Jesus. Praise God for that opportunity. Again, my final note to the Mormon people, understand that you can be saved right now if you believe in Jesus Christ. Leave Mormonism when you can. Write your letter of resignation tomorrow. But right now, you can believe in Jesus Christ. Accept him into your life. Accept him into your heart. Know that Jesus Christ died and suffered for your sins. If you accept his atonement and let him be the Lord of your life, you can leave the Mormon Church at your earliest opportunity, but believe in Christ and be saved today. You are probably wondering, how did all of this get started? How did it get so blown out of proportion? As a former high priest and ordained bishop within the Mormon Church, I was invited, along with my wife Kathy, to join a well-organized 3-week Christian outreach opportunity just north of Indianapolis. The unique occasion was the temple opening sponsored by the Mormon Church to commemorate the completion of their 148th temple. Within the upscale hamlet of Carmel, Indiana, the Mormon Church has erected a stunning building worth an estimated $52 million that will be used only by a very, very small percentage of the Mormon people. The threefold purpose of this Christian outreach was to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the local Mormon community and educate the Christian community specific to the fundamental beliefs and doctrines of the Mormon Church, as well as to provide the authoritative and reliable face-to-face resource for Mormon religious questions and debate issues. The latter is imperative due to my experience and consideration that members of the Mormon faith are both intentionally and thoroughly ignorant specific to the true history and doctrine of their own church. This deliberate barrier of knowledge allows the average Mormon to maintain a selective awareness of some non-Christian practices while stressing the more commendable social and service elements of their faith. Nearly 100,000 newspaper-style, 12-page non-Mormon temple visitor guides were widely distributed in support of this exceptionally focused religious educational opportunity. This guide provided the examples of little-known but certainly authorized teachings and doctrines of the Mormon faith, including the belief that God was once a man and that all men may become gods. Additionally, as recorded within the current publication of the Book of Mormon, the doctrine that a skin of blackness was a curse from God upon wicked and faithless men and women on this earth. It is the current Mormon doctrine that white skin indicates righteousness and purity, and black skin indicates rebellion and wickedness. Much to the irritation of the local Mormon leadership, the Indianapolis area media recorded a graphic demonstration of one of the lesser-known but truly repulsive elements of Mormon history. This in-the-flesh exhibition highlighted the fact that Joseph Smith Jr., the founder of Mormonism, had nearly 40 secret wives, many of them current wives of other men. In the hot afternoon of Sunday, the 25th of July, 2015, 30 young girls and women from several area Christian churches volunteered to don pioneer-style dresses and reverently stand in a silent line depicting only a fraction of the wives of Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. Each of these women were familiar with the personal history of the wife that they represented and were able to recount to the visitors and the media the horrific conditions of Mormon polygamy. The vast majority of Mormon visitors ridiculed this demonstration and incorrectly reassured themselves that this was all just a lie. The fact was, according to official Mormon documents, Joseph Smith, at the age of 37, had between 30 and 40 wives, and several were just 14 years old. Most visitors were appalled to learn from the official records that over a dozen of Joseph Smith's additional secret wives were the wives of other living Mormon men who essentially just shared their wives with Joseph Smith a night at a time. During the 3 weeks, we answered questions and produced copies of the authorized Mormon doctrine, manuals, teachings, and policies we spoke about. We also accurately recounted for the visitor the specific ceremonies, rituals, and secret handshakes to be accomplished within all Mormon temples. During my time in Carmel, I worked closely with the well-dressed senior Mormon representative, Mr. Brian K. Roach. Brother Roach was a local high priest, that's true, but as I mentioned before, he was also the deputy chief of police. The question is this: will we accept the corrupt influences of the Mormon Church in Indiana or not? I have documented the corruption of the Mormon Church and the abuse of their public offices by these two Mormon officials, the deputy chief of police and a senior partner of Ice Miller Law Firm, both Mormon high priests who have taken secret oaths of loyalty to the Mormon Church over the United States of America. Understand that I believe that the Mormon high priest, who is the deputy chief of police in Indianapolis, tampered with official court documents at the direction of the Mormon Church. I have requested a review of these facts and a statement from the Indiana Governor's Office, Mike Pence. We have had no response. I have sent the same packet of information to the Indianapolis Mayor's Office, Joe Hogsett. We have received no response. I have sent the same packet of information to Senator Dan Coats. We still have had no response. And I have sent the very same packet of information to the Indiana Supreme Court. We have had no response. What happened to me in Indiana demonstrates the corruption and power of the Mormon Church and the influence of their vast wealth that will crush any opposition. Their doctrine is unchristian, their policies are un-American, and their tactics are unethical. I ask you to stand with us against their oppression and abuse. As you will see in the book when it arrives, my belief is that the Mormon General Authority, Elder Paul H. Sinclair's pride and embarrassment escalated into a daring and dangerous misuse of the courts as a personal tool of retribution. How absolutely vengeful and yet completely and characteristically Mormon this entire event had been. I had been beaten physically, emotionally, and financially. And yet, I had been given the very personal, precious, and unique opportunity, if not risky, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a group of men whom I otherwise would have never known, within an environment I would have never experienced. With the clearly demonstrated and well-documented widespread corruption within the city of Indianapolis, my center of gravity, specific to any past respect or reverence for the legal system, has changed forever. After 36 consecutive years of dedicated service to the nation, I knew that I would never again regain my trust or confidence in the rule of law. I had experienced firsthand what millions before me had dealt with, either by the nature of their finances or the color of their skin. Justice in Indiana is not blind, and her favoritism can be prolonged, persuaded, or purchased. My intent was never to physically threaten Paul H. Sinclair, the Mormon General Authority. So apparent was that fact that on the record and in the courtroom, Judge Stanley Kroll stated, quote, "Mr. Baker, I do not believe that you ever intended to harm Mr. Sinclair, but in this world, people get scared," unquote. A very accurate observation, but somewhat pointless, as he had just 10 seconds earlier convicted me of 3 Class A misdemeanors and dismissed 3 serious felony charges, each worth 3 to 6 years of my life. My only intent was to intellectually challenge Mr. Sinclair's integrity, question his knowledge, and dispute his statements as a nationally recognized, highly qualified, and well-paid representative of the Mormon Church. I do sincerely pray that Mr. Sinclair might come to a more complete understanding of the history, doctrines, and practices of the Mormon Church. I pray that he and his family might be blessed with a sure knowledge of salvation based on a personal faith in Jesus Christ alone and not in the buildup of works, secret handshakes, and the desire to become a god. This day I give all honor and glory to God for the occasion to teach and preach of him and his son through the Holy Spirit, to those behind bars. And finally, I give thanks to God for His grace, for His mercy, in turning what was obviously designed and crafted by deceitful men as a punishment into a blessing and an opportunity for my personal growth and maturing in His holy word. Kathy and I invite you to visit our website, leebaker.formormon.org. We have within the archives of this website nearly 100 radio programs on any subject dealing with the Mormon Church. As a former Mormon bishop, I have been formally trained in the history, doctrine, and ceremonies of the Mormon faith. I now speak to you as a Christian who came out of Mormonism by the grace of God. I now have the personal responsibility to reach back into Mormonism to help those who seek a way out of the deception, the depression, and the despair of following and being trapped by the known lies of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young at the very expense of your salvation and that of your children. One day they may permanently silence me, but my testimony that the Mormon Church is not Christian and is not honest and is not moral will stand forever. I have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, and I testify that the past and current leadership of the Mormon Church are, as the Apostle Paul warned us, they are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Jesus Christ. God bless you, brothers and sisters. We'll see you next week.
For more information about mainstream Mormonism, visit online at leebaker.formormon.org. That's leebaker.4mormon.org.